you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith, the libertarian Tupac, the most consistent motherfucker you know, and he is Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the king of the cocks. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing good, but you got the big news. I want to hear the inside scoop of being on Rogan.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't on Joe Rogan's show. That must have been some lookalike.
Are you not allowed to talk about it? It's already up.
Oh, it's up? Yeah, motherfucker, I did Rogan. What are you going to say about that? Yeah, dude. It was fucking great, dude. The response has just been incredible. Like I forget, because it's been a little while since I've done it, but it's like, god damn, that guy. And I think he's bigger every time I go back. Like, he's just bigger and bigger. So it's been awesome. It's been a lot of traveling in the last few days, but that was a real fun thing, and I've gotten a very good response from people, and I appreciate all that. I'm sure we got a little bit of a bump and some few new listeners coming over here from Rogan's podcast, and so welcome. And thank you for joining us. A lot of fun. Although I will say, today I am fucking beat. I had to wake up at like 3 a.m. to catch my flight, because I had a dumb early flight in the morning. And then I came home and it was just great to be home. And, you know, I haven't seen my wife and daughter in a few days, and my daughter's 2 years old. So it's a lot, you know, running after her the whole day. And now it's nighttime and we're recording this episode because I missed the last one. So I'm just a little bit drained. But aside from that, it's been a lot of fun. Rogan's the man. I really, really love and admire that guy, and always have fun on his show.
Is doing Rogan a daytime hang, or is that an evening thing?
I've been on it. This was my fifth time. On 3 times just solo, and then twice with Legion of Skanks. So we've done it like all different times. So we did it at noon. We recorded at noon,
which makes the drinking so much more impressive.
Oh yeah,
the fact that's a daytime drinking. God bless.
It's a great daytime drink thing. But it's anyway. Just a lot of fun. Got a COVID test before I did it.
With the nose? Did they go in there?
Yeah, but it's not like the fucking. I was at first. You know, it's like in front of Rogan, who's like the toughest guy in America.
You don't look like a bitch.
So you're just like, right away, you're like, oh yeah, whatever, do the test. Like, I don't give a fuck. But inside I'm like, oh no, they're going to go all the way up my nose. But they just like go right up it's like the quick results one. They just go right up your nostril. It's not a thing at all. But I don't have it, or at least I didn't have it. But then I got on a plane and came home. So you're right back to, I could have it just as much as I
have. Were there Asians on the plane?
I don't see color, but yes, 3. Yeah. So, you know, I'm in trouble. That's my point. I'm basically a goner. Oh, by the way, speaking of the plane, I completely forgot about this. This made me furious. Maybe this is just me being a little bit of a dick, but I don't think so. I think I'm right about this. But so the fucking stewardess on the way back, the flight attendant, whatever you're supposed to call him, on the way back, she goes, they're like making an announcement, which first off, fucking flying sucks when you have to wear a mask the whole time. It's so goddamn annoying. Like just fucking trying to fall asleep, especially when you're on a fucking 5:45 a.m. flight and you're trying to fall asleep and you just got to like feel your hot breath on your face. It's awful. But anyway, so they're like, she makes an announcement at the beginning and she's like, everyone, you must have your mask on, you know, over your mouth and nose through the whole flight. And she says this, and this fucking made me furious. It's also dumb early in the morning. But so she goes, and listen, everyone here has a camera, has a phone with a camera on it. Everyone on this plane has a camera. So if your mask comes off, just don't be surprised if you're up on Twitter and you're famous now for being the one with your mask off on the plane. And like, I think it was supposed to be a joke. No one on the plane laughed. And it's just like, are you like encouraging people to try to publicly humiliate someone if they have their mask off on this flight? I don't know. It just seemed like it made me hate this woman. Now fuck her. Fuck American Airlines. If you see a blonde 45-year-old woman flight attendant on American Airlines, just assume she's the one I'm talking about. I don't like her. Fuck her. But anyway, but I'm here. I'm back. And yeah, it was a fun time. And
you survived.
As always. That's right. I survived. I got home. Got to see my girls today. And that's all that matters. Okay. So let's jump into some shit. Because there's a lot to fucking talk about. And a lot even, it's just been fucking crazy. Like literally since I recorded with Rogan yesterday, a whole bunch of new shit's fucking happened that is really interesting, that makes me really wonder what the fuck is going on here and what might happen over the next couple of months. So first of all, I mean, just to catch up, maybe go even some things that I did mention on Rogan's podcast that we talked about a little bit, but the dynamic right now, right, is that Donald Trump ain't fucking giving up. He's not giving up. He is like, I'm going to fight this thing. And it seems like he's going to go down with everything he has to try to hang on to the presidency, which really kind of someone who fucking tweeted this shit. Was it, it might've been Tim Pool, I think, who tweeted, but he tweeted something like, where he goes, yeah, this really destroys that whole narrative that Trump never wanted to be president. Remember when people were saying that for a while? They're like, he never really wanted to be president. This was just a publicity tour and he happened to win. It's like, oh, for a guy who doesn't want to be president, he is fighting tooth and nail to keep this job. You know, Melania is just like, oh my God, please. Like she saw that Biden won and she's like, yes, thank God. And then he's like, nope, we're going to fight this. And she's like, motherfucker. Anyway. So he's fighting. The media has gone like it's not. Now you would think, right, if Joe Biden has legitimately won the election and what Joe Biden states his goal is, which is what? Unity. Hey, everybody, we're so divided right now. We got to bring people back together. That's what the declared president-elect is claiming that his goal is
free hugs for kids.
Well, Biden was already given free hugs for kids. And each hug comes with a sniff. So if that is what you were, if that's the goal, and this is what the declared president-elect is saying, then you would think, my guess would be what you would want to do is say, okay, you're claiming there's voter fraud. This is what the president's claiming. Let's get to the bottom of this and really demonstrate thoroughly that there wasn't voter fraud. At least there wasn't enough to sway the election results, right? Isn't that what you'd think they would want to do? But no, in fact, that's not what they're doing at all. What they're doing is straight up censoring the claim that there's voter fraud. You're not allowed to even hear that the president says the election was stolen from him, which, as I said on Rogan's podcast, however you feel about it, this is a fucking news story. And this to me, and believe me, no one, like one of the central themes of this show, if you go back through the hundreds of episodes that we've done, has always been that the corporate press is full of shit and they're not real journalists. They're, you know, propagandists. But this is like another step in the level of propaganda where you look at all of a sudden Donald Trump's Twitter feed. Like if you just look down his tweets, like the whole thing is like all of them are marked. This is fake. This is fake. This is fake, or whatever the little Twitter marking on it is. Like they're just all of a sudden like, we're not going to let you speak right to the people. Now, that's a crazy thing. Donald Trump, again, you have to kind of remove however you feel about Donald Trump, because as I've said many times, Donald Trump isn't even really the story here. It's like everyone who hates Donald Trump, like the Trump, you know, is Hitler crowd. They think Donald Trump is the story. And Donald Trump always thinks Donald Trump is the story. But that's not really the story. This is never about Donald Trump. It was about what he represents, what he informs us about what's actually going on in the country. The fact that he's there tells us something's going on in the country. And so Donald Trump kind of was able to win the presidency and change the whole game by using Twitter, like in large part, by speaking directly to people. I don't have to go to the media. I don't have to give someone an interview. I can talk right to the people, and they have cut that off. Now, that's a real interesting thing. Even if you think the president's lying, the idea that you don't want people to hear what he's saying is very strange. On top of that, I saw CNN and MSNBC when he came out and gave his press conference about you know, whatever, saying the election was stolen from him, they wouldn't play it. They wouldn't play the president of the United States saying that this election has been stolen from him. Okay, that's pretty crazy. They go, no, it's lies, so we can't play it. That's the standard. All of a sudden, it's lies, so we can't play it. By the way, it hasn't even really been conclusively proven to be lies. He is evidently moving forward with legal action in several different states. We'll see. I don't fucking know. But, you know, like when George W. Bush said Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, or when Obama said, you know, if you like your health care, you can keep your health care. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. No one ever said like, well, we have to cut away. You know, no one at CNN was like, well, we can't air that to the American people. That was fine. Like if they didn't air presidents saying lies, you'd cut out half of their programming over the last 20 years. But all of a sudden, this one is such a bad lie that it has to be censored. But what was even more interesting than that was Fox News, Neil Cavuto. Let's roll the clip.
We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to
be... Whoa. I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance continue showing you this. I want to make sure that maybe they do have something to back that up, but that's an explosive charge to make, that the other side is effectively rigging and cheating.
Okay, let's stop it there. That's basically it.
Propaganda. So blatant. It's unbelievable.
We go, whoa, that's an explosive charge, so we can't let you hear that. It's like, look, man, this, if you're a journalist, this is the press secretary of the president of the United States alleging that there's been voter fraud, but you can't hear that? I mean, think about, like to me, this is a real red line between where journalism is on one side and propaganda is on the other. Journalism would say, we want you to have all of the facts. So a journalist would say, here, listen to what they're claiming. Now here, listen to somebody claiming that this is not accurate. You know, that's, and you decide, here's their argument and here's the argument against. Propaganda goes, you can't hear that. You can't hear that. We will tell you that this is wrong. And he said, for Neil Cavuto, this is a Fox News guy. This is not like, you know, this isn't someone at MSNBC. Although, you know, here's one more indication that really, when push comes to shove, they're not that much different, are they? So Neil Cavuto goes, well, that's an explosive charge, and we're going to cut away from that unless we can verify it. Just imagine if that were the standard for everything a politician ever said. Oh, well, we can't let them say that until we verify it. I mean, that'd be nice. I'd actually be fine with that if they would hold every politician to that standard. Imagine that. Imagine every time that they're trying to sell a war, if they were to be like, well, you know what? We're going to cut away from that. And we just won't even let you hear that because we haven't verified that it's true yet. You know, Assad used chemical weapons against his own people. Whoa, we're going to have to cut away from that. We can't let that be said because that's an explosive charge. And we have it, you know, but that's no problem. You could say that on any cable network that you want to say
all the time. Are you going to play cartoons until every, you know, once every 3 days you verify a claim and you can report on it?
No, the standard itself is absurd. You could never actually do news that way. But then if you think about the other, you know, politicians that they've like what they allow them to say, by the way, I mean, it's the obvious example, right? But for 3 years, I never once saw MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, even for that matter, cut away from someone claiming that the president was involved in a conspiracy with the Russians. Talking about the Steele dossier.
I mean, that was verified. That was the whole thing. Once it's true, you're allowed to say it for 2 full years.
Right. So never once did anyone go, well, listen, that's an explosive claim. I mean, I think that's a pretty explosive claim too. Again, Hillary Clinton has claimed that the 2016 election was stolen from her several times. No one ever cut away from that. No one ever said, you're not allowed to hear this. All right, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Harry's. Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. Let me tell you, people love Harry's razors. My father-in-law uses them. He says it's the best shave he's ever gotten. You can find Harry's new sharper blades in big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, U.S. customers can redeem a trial offer for Harry's new sharper blades by going to harrys.com/problem. Other razor companies have increased their prices when they introduce something new. Harry's is delivering their sharpest shave ever, and they aren't raising prices. The new blades are so sharp that in a study with guys shaving 4 times a week, the guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. Harry's owns a German factory that's been honing razor blades for 100 years. This is how they deliver quality at such a low price. They source their steel from Sweden and own the entire manufacturing process from R&D to the factory floor. This allows them to keep prices low and confidently stand by a 100% quality guarantee on harrys.com. As I said, it's available wherever you shop, big box, drug, or grocery stores. Just head over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer for the listeners of my show. New U.S. customers can redeem a Harry's trial set at harrys.com/problem. You'll get a 5-blade razor featuring their new sharper blade, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blade when you're on the go. Just go to harrys.com/problem to redeem your trial offer today. All right, let's get back into the show. So sometimes, right, the media, again, no, like you could, and this is the point that I'm really trying to drive home. This is not an endorsement of Trump or a claim that I know that this election was stolen from Donald Trump. I don't fucking know. I don't know. You know, was there voter fraud in the election? Absolutely. There's voter fraud in every election. Was this election particularly shady? 100%. Is it shady that a whole bunch of states stopped their counting all of a sudden? Yes. Is it shady that ballots were coming in for Joe Biden at crazy rates? Yes. Is it shady that all of these Trump poll watchers were claiming they were denied access? And then we have all these affidavits and now we have videos of them blocking the viewing. All of that shit is really shady. So maybe there's something here. But even if you're convinced there isn't, and you think everything I just said is bullshit, none of that was shady, this is all on the up and up, and there's no voter fraud or very minimal voter fraud or whatever, doesn't it seem weird that this is the standard all of the sudden? That all of the sudden you're not even allowed to hear this? A politician can come in and sell you wild conspiracy theories. Hillary Clinton can do the same thing about 2016, but now all of a sudden when Trump does that, this isn't newsworthy, especially when it's the sitting president now. This is pretty fucking strange. Well, I'll tell you right now that Trump is not giving up on re-election. He's got a few people around him, at least, who seem to be not giving up on him finding a way to win this. And he's going to fight. Now, I personally would say at this point, I don't see how he ends up winning that fight. I don't know what the truth is or what's right, but I don't see how he's going to legally end up keeping the presidency. But I think there's some indications that he's really going to kick up dust while he's president elect. And today there was some fucking pretty crazy shit where Donald Trump is having like mass firings in the Pentagon. Like, he's really shaking things up. And at the Defense Department, he's made some major moves. And one of them is that he has now hired, as with a new defense secretary, the senior advisor to the new defense secretary is Douglas MacGregor. Now, Douglas MacGregor, for people who don't know him, is the guy. He's the guy. He's a former colonel in the military who is right, like, let's just say he's the guy that Scott Horton would have been praying that Donald Trump bring in. And a bunch of us were really hoping, because there were a few different times where he was like floated out as maybe coming on board as national security advisor or as like an advisor in different capacities. And people were like, oh my God, please bring him in. A lot of people might know him from his regular appearances on Tucker Carlson. He's like a hardcore, like, sir, yes, sir, military guy who's like, you know, that comes off as this like hardcore right wing. I love the military. I've served. I bleed red, white, and blue. And let me tell you why we need to get out of all of these wars, because this is a disaster for our national security. We're bleeding our country dry. This doesn't serve our interests. It makes us more vulnerable. He really wants to get out of all of these wars. And he's been brought on now. And I'll tell you, it's kind of infuriating, because it's like, Donald Trump, now, after the election, with potentially only 2 months left, you bring the guy in who actually could oversee ending all of these wars? Like, really? This is the time? So it's kind of frustrating. Like, you couldn't have just done this 6 months ago. But, you know, Donald Trump's administration, in many ways, And I feel like Rogan, me and him were even talking. Go ahead.
I was on the bright side of that. I kind of had just overlooked this story because I just saw that there were some replacements in the Pentagon. Started getting crazy thoughts. We can go into that in a second. But what you're describing might actually serve your cause a little bit better. And I'll just lay out what I'm thinking. Donald Trump, if he leaves, he's going to be very, very vocal. And he might be very vocal in the way that he was when he was first running against the other Republicans and talking about things that he later dropped. If he tries to unwind the wars over the next 2 months, and let's say he's not even successful, when he leaves, he could say, this is what I was always trying to do. I wasn't able to do it because they got me caught up in this Russia collusion stuff for 2 years. And he could spend the next 4 years educating the country on the wars. And then when Biden tries to go to war, maybe he could be a very vocal advocate against it. I'm just saying, firstly, I don't think these Pentagon moves are just about unwinding wars. But if he actually does make a real effort at doing so, it means when he leaves, he could probably really talk to that in a way that might draw up a lot of populist support.
Listen, I get what you're saying, and maybe that could happen. I don't know if Donald Trump's role is really going to be to educate the American people over the next few years, but I get your point, and that is possible. But look, this is the thing. And even like when I was on Rogan, we were both Rogan kind of had a thing like agreeing with this too, where it's like the thing about Trump that a lot of people who are very critical of the establishment or just smell that there's a lot of corruption, a lot of bullshit here, you know, which I think is more or less Rogan's position, like that he's just like, not, dude, I fucking like Rogan's like a human bullshit detector. That's what he does. If you watch his show, that's literally what he does. He lets guests give their point of view, but if he smells bullshit, he's like, no, I smell bullshit here. And when it comes to the government, he smells a lot of bullshit. He's like, this is fucked up. This is corrupt. And Trump, you could tell, was calling out a lot of that corruption. Now, you can hate a million different things about Donald Trump, but there's always something where, like, you know, we played, when I was on Rogan, we played one of the clips where Trump called that the military-industrial complex. And he was like, all these people want to go to war. They love war. They make big money off war. And you're like, holy shit, that's kind of amazing that the president's doing that. And so a lot of us, even people like us who aren't Trump supporters, are always like, there's something exciting about that. Finally, there's a president who might actually call out some of the bullshit. He's kind of outside the system. Maybe he'll actually do the right thing. And maybe he'll actually end some of these fucking wars, you know? And it just never comes through. It's always almost the right thing, almost the right thing. It never fucking comes through. And now he's given us one more, like, you have two. So I get your point. He could still leave if he's not successful. He could tell all. There's a lot of but right now it's like the last 2 months before we go back to an establishment hack, corrupt politician having control of the government, probably. And then, so I'm saying this is the last chance to maybe actually do it. It could maybe happen. Like, McGregor might actually come in and be like, okay, we got 2 months to do this. We're doing this. I don't know about this new Secretary of Defense. I don't know how on board with McGregor he is. You know what I mean? I know he's the senior advisor now, but if they're like really together on this, they might be like, look, we got 2 months and we're getting it done. We're doing the withdrawal in the next 2 months. And I know that McGregor wants to get out of Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, all of Northern Africa. Like, he wants to fucking pull the whole fucking thing back. And that would really be something. Now,
I saw this news story, and the other news story, which is relevant to this, is that Mitch McConnell met with the head of the CIA because they're wondering whether or not she gets taken out of Gina her job Haspel. As well.
Well, the speculation is that Haspel and Ray, so the head of the CIA and the head of the FBI, could be next.
Okay. I don't think that Trump right now is thinking, hey, I got 2 months left. Let me get some pardons in and make sure that we're not in these wars. When I read that Pentagon article, and I just saw the headline. It's one of two things. One is maybe he's actually really gearing up to fight. And so he wants to make sure that he's got the highest levels of government under his control. And maybe it's going to go down that way. I don't expect that, but it could be if he's gearing up for a fight. He's like, I want my people in the Pentagon. And he's locking down the channels that he needs for like a real fight. That's crazy talk. I'm not saying that's what he's going to do.
No, I get what you're saying. There's a few possibilities here. And you make a really interesting point. So one possibility is that this is a bluff to the deep state. Like, listen, this is what I'll do. I'll end your fucking wars if you guys try to fucking stab me in the back here. So I'll fuck you guys up, that it'll be hard to recover this. And I'll put Joe Biden in a position where he's now got to start all of these wars again. And the truth is, and Scott Horton, the great Scott Horton, makes this point all the time, that really wars, new wars being started in America, depend on the right wing being on board. Because the right wing has always been the ones that the war hawks could count on to fall in line. They will fall in line and support these wars. We know that the left will always be split. You know, the liberals might support it, but the leftists aren't going to go for it. But if the right wing isn't on board with it, you know, it's at least going to split the fucking lefties off from the. So that would fuck Joe Biden over if we ended all these wars before he gets back in there. That's a possibility as well. The other possibility is that he actually wants to end these wars to fuck over the deep state because he's so pissed off that they fucked him over. So there are several possibilities here. But here's what I wanted to read, because there was this article.
But on that note, I do think it's what you're describing. I don't think it's some moral or some care out of Trump. It is some sort of a spite where he's like, all right, you guys just fucked me on the election. Here comes some shit, deep state. And or he's gearing up to not leave office and making sure that he's got the army on his side. But I doubt that. But hell, it's the most interesting take. So I'll put it out there.
Well, I mean, it's not impossible that he's trying to get the army on his side or something like that, you know, like have the military in his pocket. I don't buy for a fucking second that he's just trying to do the right thing. I just don't. I know there's some Trump supporters who listen to the show. Sorry, I don't buy for a second that he just loves his country so much that he cares about it. Donald Trump has always been about Trump and being the best, the most tremendous, the most gold plated, you know, whatever. Fuck, I just don't buy that. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is UBDI. If you've seen that documentary on Netflix, The Social Dilemma, you know big tech companies use your data to your detriment by manipulating what you see, controlling where your data goes, and leaving you devoid of data property rights. While you can't stop YouTube from censoring Ron Paul, you can take your data and attention away from platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Google to compete in the market for the value present in your data. UBDI was built by a fan of this show to solve this social problem by allowing members to talk, learn, and earn with their data across apps like Spotify, Robinhood, Amazon, LinkedIn, Steam, and dozens more, all in one anonymous social network. UBDI helps you understand and visualize the data these companies store on you as you build a digital asset library only you own and control. With UBDI, you can enter into verified bot-free tribes of people. It's kind of like joining a fitness community by linking your Fitbit, Apple Health, or Google Fit. Inside these verified groups, you might see someone sharing their hottest Robinhood trades with other people who are interested in that stuff, or streaming the history of the shows they've been binging on Netflix. If you're more into crypto, you can even view what cryptocurrencies other members are trading on exchanges like Binance, Coinbase, or Gemini, and ask what they know that you don't. The best part is that with UBDI, you will make 70% of the profit for any data that you consent to share with data companies. And you can cash out in precious metals like gold, dozens of cryptocurrencies, and soon even stocks. So you don't have to hold on to government currency if you don't want to. Head over to UBDI.com or download UBDI on the Apple Store or Google Play. Join the anonymous social network where you can talk, learn, and earn with your data. Head to UBDI.com or download UBDI on the Apple Store or Google Play. All right, let's get back on the show. But anyway, let's actually figure out what's going on, okay? Let's get to the experts. Stephen Collison over at CNN.com always has the best columns. So here we get to actually learn the truth about what's going on from the most trusted name in news, CNN. Okay, here's the article. Alarm grows over Trump administration acting more akin to a dictatorship as he denies election defeat. All right. President Donald Trump's administration is taking on the characteristics of a totalitarian regime, with its loyalty tests, destabilizing attacks on the military chain of command, a deepening bunker mentality, and increasing delusional claims of political victory. In response, a visibly confident president-elect Joe Biden is going out of his way to project calm amid the deepening chaos, even as Trump and senior Republicans still refuse to acknowledge the president's defeat in a stunning break with American democratic traditions.
Calm, because he doesn't have the energy for anything else. That's the only mode he runs in.
But it is really funny. Like the whole, you could say, okay, I think, you know, whatever, Joe Biden is the right position to take. But isn't it a little bit convenient that the Democratic position is basically like, he's Hitler, he stole the election, we need to loot and burn and everything, this is chaos, we need a revolution. And then like when Joe Biden's up, they're like, guys, we got to just calm down and accept the results of election. Come on, we want unity. You know what I mean? They literally went like 5 minutes earlier. They were like, you're a bunch of white supremacists. And they're like, hey, what are we fighting for? You know, so it's just interesting that all of a sudden this is their thing. CNN has been hysterical for, you know, 5 years about this shit. And now all of a sudden it's kind of like, whoa, Trump's a little hysterical. Can't we just be calm adults? So, you know, the tone is all bullshit. This is also supposed to be an objective piece, but whatever. Okay, so Biden is taking, this is back to the article, Biden is taking calls with leaders of the country's top allies and appearing on camera, which reflects the inevitability of his ascent to power. Meanwhile, the president is staying behind closed doors, tweeting in wild block capital letter, and unleashing a purge of the Pentagon's civilian leadership in what one current defense official called dictator moves. So, like, you see how they kind of throw this in there, right? They're like, you know, first off, it's like Biden is taking calls with all these other world leaders. There's also been a lot written about how Biden, and Biden has said straight up, like, that I forget exactly his quote, but it was something like, he goes, America's back. America's back in the game, and we're back on the world stage. And he's talking to all of the allies, as they say, which is basically, you know, dog whistle for, we're right back to the plan to keep expanding the wars in the Middle East and keep expanding the military footprint and dominating the world. This is what Joe Biden is promising, a return to normal. So then they say the president, he's behind closed doors. He's tweeting in wild block capital letters. And unleashing a purge of the Pentagon's civilian leadership. Well, that last part is a little bit different than just staying inside and tweeting a lot. That last part is like, that's interesting. Yeah, there is a, he is kind of conducting a purge of the Pentagon. I wonder why. I wonder why the guy who's been set up for one coup attempt after another would want to purge the Pentagon on his way out, or maybe not.
Interesting is if the intelligence community was actually involved in hijacking the election and getting into these avenues with your own people in the last 2 months helped you gather the evidence. That would make for a good movie. Not saying that's what's happening, but
sure would make for a good movie. All right. So it was one defense official called it dictator moves. And William Cohen, a former Secretary of Defense and Republican senator, told CNN's Don Lemon, the administration's conduct is more akin to dictatorship than democracy. The president-elect is reassuring the American people with a composure granted by an election win that Trump's legal chaos, baseless allegations, massive voter fraud have little chance of overturning the will of the voters. The president-elect on Tuesday consciously avoided escalating a confrontation with Trump, who is withholding the access and funding that incoming presidents normally rely on to stand up their administrations. So Trump is not ready to concede, and he's not ready to start the transition process. That's what's going on. Biden says, quote, we don't see anything that's slowing us down, quite frankly. Okay. So just a little bit more in the article about how Biden has won, that he's got, you know, the more electoral votes than he needs. Go back to the article, and more false accusations and conspiracy theories touted by Trump supporters to claim electoral fraud are dissolving a day after Attorney General William Barr stepped into the political fray to advise prosecutors to probe major fraud. The Department of Homeland Security, meanwhile, pushed back on rumors that ballots were cast on behalf of dead people, but the Trump team only dug itself deeper into a bizarre parallel universe. So just a whole bunch about how fucking, you know, it's crazy, and Trump's accusations are ridiculous. I'm just going to cut ahead in the article a little bit, because this is where, to me, it gets interesting. So they're calling him guilty of dictator moves, and this is more dictatorial than democratic and all of this stuff. Here we go in the article. Trump, by contrast, is tarnishing the instruments of American democracy by refusing to concede and leaving the country more vulnerable with revenge firings that threaten to weaken critical national security agencies. So, okay. The idea of revenge firings, and this somehow weakens national security. Now, no one, notice, will demonstrate to you how this weakens national security.
Well, when John Brennan had his security clearance revoked,
remember
all the chatter about how that would, like, as if there was a situation where he was the only expert, they wouldn't actually bring him in and ask him for his advice. And then you got to remember how much John Brennan probably orchestrated. I mean, you talk about the revolving door of politics between the financial sector and then the Treasury or whatever. If you want to look at the cable, you know, CNN as being the military propaganda arm, well, how fucking weird is it that the head of the NSA and the CIA go right from working? Like, how is that separation between?
I just wish that the leftists and liberals and even the anti-Trump libertarians who listen to this show would just please just remember, right, that this is the bullshit defense they always use. It was always through the Bush years, you know, everything was like, if you questioned why we're fighting this war or the next war or why we have the Patriot Act or any of this, they always said you're threatening national security interests by even having this debate. And that's exactly what they're saying now. It's like, well, this has weakened national security. Well, has it? Has it really? Just like you said, that was a great example. When he revoked the security clearance for Brennan and Clapper and Comey and a bunch of these guys, this will weaken national security. No, it didn't. It didn't leave us vulnerable for anything. This is just what they say when they don't want you, when you're doing something you're not allowed to do that fucks with the military-industrial complex or the deep state, you're a threat to national security. Meanwhile, literally all of these people are a threat to national security. All right. After Trump fired Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who had put loyalty to the Constitution ahead of his duty to the president, there you go. Nice unbiased take. Three other senior Pentagon officials have been fired or resigned. They include the department's top policy official, James Anderson, who resigned and is being replaced by retired General Anthony Tata, whose nomination for the post earlier this summer foundered after CNN's K-File reported his numerous past Islamophobic and offensive remarks. You know, of course, because none of the fucking, nobody else in the Pentagon or the fucking military industrial complex has made Islamophobic remarks. It's that people have slaughtered millions of Muslims, but, you know, don't say anything fucked up about them.
His last name sucks. That should be the one comment.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Sources, back to the article, sources told Barbara Starr and CNN's Pentagon team that the dismissal might be motivated by pushback from Esper and his team against a withdrawal from Afghanistan that would be carried out before the required conditions on the ground were met and other pending security issues. Quote, "This is scary. It's very unsettling," one defense official told CNN. "These are dictator moves." So there's your quote from a national security expert about what dictator moves are. Let's get this straight. CNN is telling you this quite blatantly right now. We're not adding this to the story. This is what he's talking about doing. Ending the war in Afghanistan before, quote, let me just say this again, withdrawal from Afghanistan that would be carried out before the required conditions on the ground were met. That's a dictator move.
We're still at war in Afghanistan?
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, bro. But it's only a few years, two decades. It's only two decades. But conditions haven't been met yet. The condition, we just need a little bit more time. Dude, we were like 3 months away, and then we were going to pull out of the war in Afghanistan. Totally. Even though it's the longest war in American history, we just weren't quite ready. But my favorite thing is these are dictator moves. Hasn't it always been the fear, like the deepest fear in America, that someday a dictator could rise and pull us out of disastrous wars? The fear that a dictator could bring peace. I mean, that's really what you got to be afraid of.
A frugal dictator who starts saving money for everybody.
Frugal dictator who's like, I just want to listen. I don't want to waste money and I don't want to kill innocent people. And you're like, my God, he's acting like a dictator. He decided all on his own that he was going to save lives and money. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Infinite CBD. I'm thrilled to have them back on the show because I needed more of that Freezing Point topical cream. I love this stuff. I'm literally right now, after I'm done recording this show, I'm going to go and put some of this all over my neck because it's sore as shit from that plane ride. My neck always gets sore on plane rides. I got degenerative disc disease. I had a pinched nerve last year. And let me tell you, the Freezing Point topical cream from Infinite CBD really helps me. It really was a lifesaver. You go check it out. If you have muscle pain, if you work out hard and you're sore, put some of this stuff on. It's going to help you a lot. It comes in a stick as well, so you can put the freezer on and just kind of massage out the sore muscles. It's incredible. If you've never checked out Infinite CBD before, by the way, it's not just the Freezing Point topical cream. They have a bunch of products, a bunch of different stuff. They have gummies, lube, nano products. Again, my personal favorite is the Freezing Point topical cream. Whatever your needs may be, if you're interested in CBD to help you with any issue, go to infinitecbd.com. They were ranked the number one CBD company by herb.co. They have a bunch of amazing products. It's really pure, really high quality CBD. It's infinitecbd.com. And if you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get 20% off your entire order. One more time, it's infinitecbd.com, promo code POTP for 20% off your entire order. All right, let's get back into the show. You know, it's a the funny thing about all of it, right, is that, look, we don't really, our government is what is called a democratic republic. Now, I don't know if you could say we really are. We're probably more like a fucking oligarchy, or kind of like, you know, who is it? Was it Will Grigg who called it participatory soft fascism? You know, like, that's more what our government is, but we're supposed to be a democratic republic. So it's not as if we have pure democracy where everything is up on referendum and everything, or even we have a pure democracy, like, you know, that the popular vote elects the national candidates, you know? We have the Electoral College and all of this stuff, and, you know, different election schemes. But to say that the president is acting as a dictator when it comes to foreign policy, that is what our system is. The president, I mean, okay, theoretically, Congress is supposed to declare the wars, right? The last war that Congress declared was World War II. Congress hasn't declared a war since then. We fought the war in Korea, the war in Vietnam, you know what I mean? A whole bunch of military actions in between then.
Really win those ones. So as long as you don't declare them, you're better off.
That's a good point. Yeah. But, yeah. And by the way, but there is something to that's not completely coincidental, that the wars never end and we don't win them. But since World War II, we've had the war in Vietnam, the war in Korea, the war in Vietnam, obviously, of course, the other big ones, you know, the actions in Kosovo and stuff like that. But there's been bombings all over the place. But Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen, all these things, none of these have been declared by Congress. But you could argue that Congress declares the war. But once you're at war, the president is the commander in chief, aka the dictator of the war. Now, you can certainly debate whether it is, like, I would certainly fall on the side of saying that it is absolutely unacceptable that the president can just start wars, okay? But that has been done. You know, it was done under Eisenhower. It was done under Kennedy and continued under Lyndon Johnson. It was certainly done by Clinton. Certainly by Reagan, by Clinton, basically everyone except Jimmy Carter and Trump hasn't really started a war, right? But Obama started a bunch. W obviously started a bunch. That's fucking horrible. I do not believe that a president has the authority to start a war. But the president absolutely has the authority to end a war. That is just, like, such an insane thing to go that, and I've heard this before under Trump when he was talking about pulling troops out of Syria, and they go, the president is acting unilaterally to pull troops out of Syria. And you're like, wait, but how did troops get into Syria? Oh, yeah, Obama acted unilaterally to send troops into Syria. But that somehow never, you know, becomes like a big deal with CNN. But acting unilaterally to pull troops out, that makes you a fucking dictator. So let me just, you know, make this clear. This is far from a given that something big is going to happen here. But the fact that Douglas McGregor is in there really tells me that whatever the play is here, Trump's play is to get serious about at least posing as ending the war in Afghanistan and posing of ending probably some other military conflicts as well. And I would not have, even yesterday, I would have said, yeah, the odds that Donald Trump in his lame duck session ends any of these wars are very low. Right now, I'm thinking there's a real fucking chance. There's a real chance. And I'll tell you this. If he is serious about ending these wars, which, again, what the fuck did you wait this long for? Why would you have not done this sooner? This is fucking insane. But if he is, then God damn it, I'm rooting for him to fucking win this legal fight. I'll tell you that. We'll see. We'll see. How do you see, almost separate question from all this, how do you see this going, Rob? Do you have any like idea where the legal battles and Trump refusing to you know, concede?
So I think he's smart for not conceding, because I think the very best he can do is the longer he fights, the more stories are going to come out of whatever shenanigans took place. And at least that's going to further erode trust in government and possibly paint more of a picture that he won. I don't think they're going to get hard evidence to possibly flip this. I just don't see it happening. I think in part because statistical arguments just aren't that compelling. And I say that because I don't understand them. And so if I don't understand them, most people are not going to understand them. There's a lot of shenanigans to point to. There's like, now there was the glitch in the software. There's all the stuff that switched over. There's these random audio recordings of poll workers just saying shady. Like, one of the shadiest ones I heard was that if somebody came in and they were told like, no, we already have a vote for you. And they're like, well, I didn't. And they said, well, I didn't vote. Then they're like, it doesn't matter. We count whatever we received. Doesn't matter how adamant the guy is, doesn't matter what. And then this is the crazy one, though. If the guy keeps claiming it, they go give him like this other ballot, and then it just gets thrown in the fucking trash. They got these phony ballots for people to fill out. That one was crazy. I heard that, by the way, that video is down from YouTube. It was, so the crazy, crazy thing is all the censorship that it's, and it is nearly impossible to find these articles that are at least laying out the claims of the fraud that's going on. You will not find it. Go look in Google. You're not going to find it in Google. You got to go to DuckDuckGo. You're not finding it in Google. The Twitter stories are being censored. Your question, though, because now I'm fucking rambling, was how do
no,
I think?
No, but this is really important. So I'm glad you brought that up. I really do feel like we are entering a new era, that where there's been there like little bits of it have been starting. It's not completely new, but it does seem like something really changed in the level of both corporate press censorship and social media censorship, and they're happening in tandem, which is, you know, telling. But the fact that, I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, this whole year, there was nothing like what happened in our private Facebook group, which has now been, you know, terminated, or at least we're still waiting to see what they do with it. But there, where all of a sudden this year, it was like one story after another, after the next, one post that was shared after another would be fucking just taken down. Hey, fake news was posted. We took it down. They used to do this, but very rarely. But now all of a sudden, and it was all about the COVID shit. It was all, if anyone said, hey, here's an article of these epidemiologists arguing against the lockdowns, taken down, fake news. Sorry, we've determined that this is fake. And you're like, wait, these are real doctors making this argument, and fucking Mark Zuckerberg's team is going to tell me this is fake. And by the way, most of them turned out to be right. That also the stuff with the Hunter Biden, where they're banning the New York Post's account and making it so you can't share that link. This was a whole, and now basically quasi silencing the president, you know, this is all very new stuff.
If there's one person you would think like, okay, we understand that there's censorship and certain stories will never make it to the news. There's certain perspectives that will never make it to the news. If you can censor the president, the one guy who you would think could get on a phone and go, fuck you, put me on the news. I'm talking right now and the country's going to hear me. If they can censor that, like, that's the most powerful player in the entire world. If tech and the mainstream media has the ability to censor him. Nothing is safe. That's it.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, the president was always like, you'd think like back when there were only three networks and that's the only way you could address the American people. It's like, oh, if the president says he's speaking, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I Love Lucy is fucking off for tonight because the president's speaking and this will cover all three networks. Everyone's going to go right to the president because it's the fucking president of the United States, the commander in chief. And if they can even on Twitter go, no, he's claiming an election was stolen from him. And they go, no. Sorry, we're going to put a big fat fake news warning over what you're saying. I mean, you're seeing the beginning of something different that no matter what happens with Donald Trump, whether if he found some way to fucking stay in power, or if he's, you know, which seems more likely to me, Joe Biden is installed in January. I think we've crossed a threshold.
Also,
where this is, look, between the, it's not just, it's the social media company is telling you, sorry, what the president's saying is fake news, fucking going over his tweets, and the whole corporate press saying, we won't tell you what he's saying. You don't even know. All you have to know is that I'm telling you that what he's saying is bullshit. Again, I'll say this one more time to people. Even if you think what he's saying is bullshit, that should still terrify you. That's still a fucked up precedent to set. Sorry, go ahead.
No, if you were doing real reporting on this, you would say the president has made claims of fraud in the election. He has not made it clear exactly what evidence he's going to put forward, or he hasn't said specifically what the fraud is. Experts in the field have pointed out the following things, and it remains unsubstantiated. We all look forward to seeing how this is going to play. And then if you were really doing news, you get the world's biggest experts in forensic accounting, in hacking, in computer systems. You would have, that would be the news every single night. Either way, you would go, hey, listen, I'm a hacking expert. Here's how this system is unhackable. Or you'd have the guy going, oh, I'm the hacking expert. And guess what? This is highly hackable. And here's the irregularity.
Yes.
That's called reporting.
You'd have people. That's right. You'd have people who were election watchdogs, because there's a lot of people who are like, have done that election watching, like in like third world kind of, you know, countries where they're very concerned about the elections. They bring in people to watch. You'd have them and say, look at all these experts. Well, this is what you'd look for if there has been widespread fraud in an election, blah, blah, blah. You'd have all these experts on. You'd say, look, this is what Donald Trump, these are explosive claims made by the president of the United States. Here's what he's saying. Here's what the opposition is saying. Here's what we know. Now let's talk to these experts. That's something like what real journalism would look like. A real journalism doesn't look like, oh, you know what? That's an explosive claim. We're not going to let you hear that. But as you said, the thing that's so crazy about it is that they're, you know, it's one thing if they like fucking silence Alex Jones. And it's one thing when you see them, by the way, I'm against all of it, but it's, and it's one thing when you see them silence some, you know, like fucking account that's not even like a real person's name, just some sock account or whatever, you know, and they silence those people. But to watch them try to do this to the president of the United States is really, this is a whole new level. Like if you were reading a novel, this would be the last page before a new chapter. You know, it's like all this stuff building about how they're silencing all these people. And then the last page is, and they silenced the president. Turn page, start new chapter. Shit just fucking changed. Like that's where we would be at right now. And I really do think that like that's kind of where we're at as a country right now. We're like at the last page and about to be on a new chapter, one way or the other. Well, I don't know what exactly the first page of this new chapter is going to look like, but something has happened here where we're at a different place.
There was a really shady one today. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out. I think I sent you the Fox News article, but you had a guy in Pennsylvania postal worker who made the claim that he had heard people be instructed. I might get this part of the story wrong, but he had to basically predate mail so that it looked like it had hit the deadline when it came to like the voting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There were every single story today in the news was that guy was questioned by and he had taken back his claim.
Yes.
And that was everywhere because that was like one of like, I guess the better pieces of evidence here. And then the guy put a video out of going, nope, never took that back. still is 100% true. And then here was the shadiest part. There was, he had some of the audio of, yes, I think it was an FBI investigator, and the FBI investigator is going, listen, I'm going to try and get you rattled here because sometimes people have more clarity when they're under stress. And you just know, like, oh, this guy's
It was a classic, like, FBI interrogation tactic. And it's crazy that they actually had the audio of it. I believe it was Project Veritas who released it. Then the guy's going, like, listen, there's a shitstorm coming. Senators are involved. The FBI's involved. This is bad. So let's just see. What do you really remember? What really happened there? And then he came on and he's like, listen, I'm telling you what happened. Like this, I didn't recant any of this. Yeah.
But the scarier part was the phony, the phony claim. And go right now. Unless it's already changed, go to Google News, just type in the word recant. And then when it goes view full coverage, you will see 40 articles where every single headline is recanted. False. The guy, just not true.
And this is what they're experts at. And I'll tell you, this is how the propaganda machine works. But they know that if it's the big lie thing, right? If you tell the lie often enough, people believe it. There is still a percentage of the country who believes that Donald Trump is working with the Russians. And if you say something over and over again, you will peel away a percentage of people who will buy that. So there is a percentage of people right now, and they know these numbers, who saw enough headlines that backed that up that went, yep, the guy recanted. See, there was no voter fraud. Again, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I'm not so claiming here's to.
The only
That is shady.
So here's the problem. You might get 40 instances where you've got people like him just saying, here's some shady thing. Until you get someone who's going to give, like, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know that it really works this way, but until you get someone to give testimony like, hey, I'm one of the people that was involved in this, here's exactly the way we instructed poll workers to operate, and here's the exact number of votes that we flipped, and you get a couple people to testify that, like, there were this pile of votes that we put in the wrong place, or we hacked the computer and we specifically had this amount of votes flipped, it's just going to be like a number of things that seem fishy. You might even be able to prove one or two, but unless I think you can pin down a specific number of votes to go, this 40,000 of votes were falsified, I don't think you're actually going to be able to flip the results as they stand right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'm also obviously not a lawyer. I don't know exactly what the legal, like how this is all going to proceed, but it seems to me like this is going to be very, 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 very tough for Trump to win this in court, and to the point that it flips the election.
And he's doing a little bit, he's doing a little bit of a shitty job that he's not putting forward evidence. It's a little bit like we said that they kind of botched it with that Hunter Biden computer thing where it came out late. They kind of teased the kid porn thing. I don't know that turned out to be true. Like, they just didn't put forward, hey, here's what we've got. In this case, everyone's kind of like, what do you have? He kind of needs to have one of those secretary hearing meetings with an actual board of like the specific cases and evidence. And like,
that's not really Trump's style, but I agree with you. I think your point is well taken. Well, we'll see what they do end up putting forward in the next few days.
Last thing you see, the news story with Pompeo? Because in terms of talking about him getting the military figures on his side, Pompeo's comment was basically, we're getting ready for a second term or whatever.
They asked Pompeo, I forget his exact quote, but they asked him something like, do you think there will be a peaceful transition of power? And he said, I think there'll be a very smooth, peaceful transition to Trump's second term.
Hell yeah.
It was pretty interesting that he sounded so confident like that. All right, listen. I'm fucking beat. I've been up since like 3 or 4 a.m. this morning. So thank you guys for fucking listening.
Can I plug before we call it?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
November 28th up in, I think it's November 28th. God, I should have looked up the dates. November 28th in New Hampshire. A bunch of people hit me up for tickets. We're going to have a really cool show there at one of the libertarian clubhouses the Free State Project. So come hang out. And then we're doing a backyard in Philly December 5th, doing a full year recap. Got a lot of jokes and talk about the censorship stuff. So just hit me up, Robbie the Fire on Twitter. You can DM me. I'll send you the ticket link. You can find it on my website, robbythefire.com.
All right. There we go. And once again, thanks for all the fucking positive feedback from the Rogan appearance. If you haven't seen that already, go fucking check it out. The Joe Rogan Experience. I'm not plugging any links. Everyone knows where the fuck it is. The biggest podcast on the planet. Again, thank you guys for listening. We will be back with a brand new episode very soon from now. What is it? Fucking the day after tomorrow on Friday. We got a brand new episode for you. All right. Peace.